This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. A treat for you this morning. David Creer has written another essay about his experience with chimney swifts and with wonderful people who've been helping count and learn about the chimney swift population that we have in the Viroqua area. A lot of their habits are just being learned instead of guessing about where they are and what they're doing. People are setting out to really watch and see what they're actually doing. And he calls his essay Adventures in Swifting, and it's dated March of 2026. How could this happen? It was a beautiful summer evening in our small town of Viroqua, Wisconsin, and I was with a couple of friends at the Vernon County Historical Society Museum looking for the chimney swifts to come into the chimney to roost for the night. On a typical summer night, we'd reliably seen 50 to 200 birds, but on this night in 2023, there were none to be seen. I was gobsmacked, wondering what had happened to them. As if on cue, a pedestrian walking by saw us and mentioned that a few blocks away, a group of people were gathered with lawn chairs watching chimney swifts entering a brick chimney on a greenhouse. We hightailed it over there, and sure enough, some 20 neighbors were enjoying the spectacle. Feeling relief that the birds were still around, we got to talking and wondering if they were the same birds that we had seen at the museum's chimney or totally different birds. We decided that we'd have to watch the two chimneys at the same time to see if the group of birds moved back and forth. As we started putting together a plan, we realized there were a few other large roosting chimneys in town. So in 2024, we would try to watch five large chimneys simultaneously to see if the flocks were moving around. One of the great things about being in a Midwest city of 4,400 people is there are just a few large chimneys in town, so it's pretty easy to figure out how big an effort it would be. At least that's what we thought. It was then I was reminded about what a great community we live in. As people heard about what we were planning, they asked to help out. We quickly got our group of about 10 observers arranged and selected two Monday nights each month to watch the chimneys. We liked twice a month, so it wouldn't be too much of a time commitment, which might deter volunteers. For 2 years, we regularly observed roosting chimneys, as we would set up chairs and hold binoculars and notepads. People walking or driving by would stop and ask what we were doing. Sometimes they'd note that they had gone by another of our chimney groups and let us know people were there too. Or other times people would share what they knew of other chimneys, which we hadn't originally noticed. Sometimes they had no idea such an awesome spectacle was right outside their door. It was delightful to share our story with so many interested citizens. One time, a friend who knew what we were doing said they had seen a few hundred birds at a different chimney. I was somewhat incredulous at such a big number of birds, or that there was even a chimney there at all, as I walked by that building hundreds of times and not noticed it. Sure enough, two of us went the next night, and there were several hundred birds at a chimney I didn't even know existed. This actually happened a couple of times, and so we added two additional roosting chimneys to our list, adding to my joy that my fellow citizens were interested and engaged in what we were doing. People also started telling us about chimneys in many other towns nearby with chimney swifts. There was one chimney that we had watched regularly in 2024, but we would only see a few birds, so we thought it was more of a nesting chimney. A chimney used by 2 to 5 birds with a nest and raising young. This is different from a roosting chimney with 50 or more birds roosting there at night communally. We stopped watching it for 2025 until a neighbor mentioned seeing 80 birds there one night. They agreed to watch it every night, which they did for several weeks. All of a sudden, the birds stopped roosting there and moved to other chimneys. It was a hint of what we would find across the city. So what did we learn over 2 years of observing? In the late spring of each year, as the birds migrate up from South America to nest in the northern U.S. and southern Canada, The birds get to town and strongly prefer the Historical Society chimney. About 200 to 250 birds a night roost there until early summer, with smaller numbers at the Landmark Center a few blocks away. From June to July, the numbers dip a bit as the birds pair up and go off to find nesting chimneys. Swifts build nests to raise broods in smaller chimneys all over town. Just 2 to 5 birds a nesting chimney. But still, a couple of hundred birds don't pair up and will stay roosting as a community in the larger chimneys. The new nestlings are flying by the second half of July, and some families will leave the smaller nesting chimneys and rejoin the large flocks. And the total number of birds in roosting chimneys nearly doubles to about 500 birds. It's at this point that the loyalty to a specific roosting chimney starts to change, and we see the other large chimneys in town get use. It's often for just 1 or 2 weeks, and the birds move on to the other large chimneys, and through August and early September, the birds are really moving around. In mid to late August, the number of birds swells even more, as swifts that have been nesting farther north, even into southern Canada, are starting to flock up and head south. Depending on the weather, by late September, the birds are mostly headed back to their winter grounds in South America. The first year, each team of observers had a specific chimney to watch. For the second year, we wanted to give everybody the opportunity to see big flocks, so we alternated chimneys each time. In a related effort, one dedicated Swifter — we don't call ourselves Swifties, as that's the preferred nomenclature for Taylor Swift fans — observed chimneys in about a quarter of our city for nesting activity. He observed 470 buildings, and of those, 56 had chimneys uncovered and big enough for nesting chimney swifts. He observed them carefully during nesting periods and found out that 26 of them were used for nesting. If we extrapolate that across all the buildings in our city, that comes to about 100 likely nesting chimneys in our town. How many birds are successfully raised from each nest? A 1958 study showed about an 86% success of an egg reaching the stage that a young bird can fly away from the nest, and about 4 eggs per nest. A subsequent study at Kent State University in 1980 had similar numbers, showing about 3 birds survive to fledge per nest. This study was done by Dr. Ralph Dexter, who studied chimney swifts for 40 years there. In fact, the seal of Kent State University has a chimney swift on it. For our 100 likely nesting chimneys, that means 300 new chimney swifts. Just as a cross-check on all those assumptions and math, our observations of the roosting chimneys shows that our population grows by about 200 birds after nesting season, so we're not too far off between 2 different methods. We think that the additional 100 birds stay in nesting chimneys or disperse into the countryside. We don't know for sure, but it is terrific to see the 2 different approaches to yield results that are pretty close to each other. A big lesson is that we need chimneys of all sizes, large ones for communal roosting and smaller ones for nesting. Without both, the population will diminish. We also need food for the birds. Since our county is home to the largest number of organic farms in Wisconsin, and a very dense concentration compared to any place in the country, we have a good source of insects for the birds to eat. Raising young birds takes a tremendous amount of protein, and the parents will fly nonstop during the day, returning to the nestlings 1 to 3 times every hour or so with a crop full of insects. Swifts eat an enormous number of insects, up to 12,000 insects a day when feeding young, up to 1/3 of their body weight. As I think back on the last 4 years, helping repair the Historical Society chimney, holding 2 swift nights out there, 2 years of simultaneous chimney counts, and the effort to find nesting chimneys, I'm torn between what's been more rewarding, learning about the chimney swifts or about the people that live here. It was fantastic to get an answer to our original question that, yes, the birds do move around in large flocks. I shouldn't have been surprised, but we added many new questions along the way about the birds' behavior. I was even fortunate enough to get to make a short presentation about our efforts to the Wisconsin Chimney Swift Working Group, a group of volunteers dedicated to understanding and helping swifts. My main takeaway, though, is how terrific birds are at bringing people together. I met so many people and made so many friends during this project. The dedication of folks who would commit so much time to observing birds who aren't obsessed birders was so gratifying. In addition to the regulars, there were many who would substitute in now and then, or focus on a specific chimney, or just wanted to help occasionally. Everybody contributed, even strangers on the street. It was such a treat to know people care and want to help and want to understand one of our local birds and to enjoy the spectacle that unfolds most summer nights in our small town and in towns all over the area. And that is David Creer's essay about his experiences over the last few years monitoring and counting and watching chimney swifts with his friends. And if you're in Viroqua driving around this summer and you spot a group of people with binoculars sitting on lawn chairs, don't hesitate to pull over and join them. You know you'll be with friends you haven't met yet. I've been looking at some of the literature. I think we can expect the arrival of the swifts about mid-April. They winter in about the northwestern third or quarter of South America. They have a long migration. Here's a little bit from Birds of the World about how they actually build their nest. Both parents independently build the nest. Although reported as breaking off small twigs with feet while flying through the outer canopy of dead trees, photographic evidence indicates that the chimney swift uses its bill to procure nest material. The birds fly through the tops of dead trees in a slow horizontal flight to collect nest material. Adults return to the nest with twig in the bill. After entering the chimney and positioning the stick in the nest, it cements it in place with sticky saliva from seasonally enlarged sublingual glands. At two nests watched for 8 hours, individuals entered the chimney with a stick an average of every 40 to 46 minutes. Twigs used reflect availability in New York, American basswood, apple, black locust, red maple, and sugar maple commonly used. Egg laying begins when the nest is half finished at about 3 to 6 days, and new twigs and saliva are added during incubation. They stop adding sticks shortly before the eggs hatch. Average time to complete the nest about 18 days, but may take up to 30 days. I thought it would be fun to look at my collection of Bent's Life Histories books, which I've been collecting for decades. And I've scanned my shelves and found that I didn't have anything on chimney swifts. And then I realized that it's online. There's a website called birdsbybent.com, birdsbybent.com. This is Arthur Cleveland Bent's Life Histories of North American Birds, published in the 30s, and the accounts go back in time, people's stories about birds in the 20s and the turn of the century. And so I looked up chimney swifts online and found some interesting stories about their nest building. This is from Arthur Cleveland Bent's Life Histories of the Chimney Swift. Nesting. Of the few North American birds, and there are very few that were influenced favorably by civilized man when he settled on this continent, the chimney swift received the greatest benefit. Before the coming of man, the swifts had been building their nests for thousands of years in hollow trees here and there in the American wilderness. Then man came and unwittingly supplied within his chimneys exactly the situation the swift required for nesting, an upright surface inside a cavity protected from the weather, the equivalent of a hollow tree, Thus, the birds' nesting sites were increased a millionfold. Nowadays, the typical site is in a chimney. Yet, as the following quotations show, the swift occasionally avails itself for nesting purposes of some other of man's works. Also, from time to time, it is found breeding in its ancestral manner. The nest itself is a little hammock, half-saucer-shaped, composed solely of dead twigs, which the bird breaks off as it flies past a tree. The twigs are attached to the wall, and the twigs themselves are fastened to one another by the glutinous saliva of the bird, which hardens and fixes the structure so firmly to its support that it withstands, as a rule, the rain of summer storms. Lewis, in 1927, reports that a pair of chimney swifts built a nest and hatched a brood of young in an open well near an old deserted farmhouse in the southern part of the county, and this is in Virginia. The nest was typical for the species and was stuck just above a bulge in a rock in the well wall, just as they are stuck to the rocks in a chimney. It was located about 7 feet below the surface of the ground and 10 feet above the water. And Kennard, 1895, speaking of a nest in New York State, says, "I found a chimney swift's nest placed just under the ridge pole of an old log barn and against the side of one of the logs of which it was constructed. It was within a foot of an enormous hornet's nest. The 5 young birds, which were nearly fledged, were clinging to the bark of the logs in the immediate vicinity and seemed to get on much better with the hornets than I did." And Everman, 1889, describes a peculiar nidification of this species as follows. "A pair fastened their nest in 1884 upon the inside of the door of an outhouse at the Vandalia Depot in Camden, Indiana. The birds entered the building through small holes made in the gables. This building was in daily use, but those who visited it were cautioned by the railroad agent to open the door with care so as not to jar the eggs from the nest. 4 eggs were laid, one of which was jostled from the nest. The other 3 hatched, and the young were reared in safety. The nest was repaired and used again in 1885 and again in 1886, a brood being reared each season." Most astonishing records of nesting are reported by Moore, 1920, thus, "In this locality, Scotch Lake, New Brunswick, more nests are built inside buildings than there are inside chimneys. The nests are usually glued to the gable end of the building. Sometimes barns, sometimes old uninhabited houses are chosen, and one nest, the past summer, was built in a blacksmith's shop within 15 feet of the forge. A number of years ago, a pair nested in the upper part of a house in which a family lived, and near to a bed in which children slept every night. In this case, the birds entered through a broken window." And Daniel, 1902, gives an instance of the nesting swifts in hollow cypress trees in the Great Dismal Swamp. He says, "Along the southeastern shore, growing in the lake some distance out from the shoreline, are a large number of hollow cypresses. The roots or knees of these trees extend upward and outward from the surface of the water, curving inward some distance up, and in most of them, between the water and the base of the tree proper, there are openings large enough for a canoe to enter. By pushing our canoe in these intervals between the roots, we were able to examine the interiors of the hollow trees. In these, we found the swifts nesting in their primitive fashion, the nests being fastened to the interior walls about midway down." And Bent goes on to write, and T.E. Musselman wrote me in 1935 that he has noted that swifts are beginning to use silos as nesting sites in the Middle West. And I will say, today, I often think of silos as potential nesting sites, and I'm keeping a silo that we have on our land safe for chimney swifts, and every year I hope to see one nesting inside of it. I always hope that people will keep silos up on the landscape, not only because so many of them are so beautiful, but because of chimney swifts and the potential for nesting in silos. I've seen quite a few photographs of chimney swifts on nests in silos. So I hope you've enjoyed a little bit about chimney swifts. We can look forward to seeing them within about a month. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thanks to Dave Creer for his essay on his experiences with so many lovely people in Viroqua, learning more and more about our chimney swift population here. And thank you for listening.